sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from God. Amen. I want to paint for you a simple picture of our home last night. Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Mother's Day is always difficult for us because I'm always off early on Sunday mornings, off to church. And again, this year, I'm often, almost always, traveling on Mother's Day afternoon to an annual preaching conference. They always schedule it and it starts this day. So we were going to mark Mother's Day last night in our family. It wasn't picturesque by any means. The day up until then, yesterday, was Katie's soccer game at Robinson, and then some downtime in the afternoon, then cleaning the house, which is always a joy. Now the Roskies are having dinner and watching TV, specifically a trashy reality show called Below Deck that we all kind of enjoy. It makes us laugh. It gets us talking and commenting and rewinding often because we're commenting so much and then we miss something, so we go back and then there's more laughing. The moment of food and entertainment, it brings us together, but nothing really Norman Rockwell about it, this picture that I'm painting. Just another American family together on Mother's Day Eve before one child heads out to hang out with his friends and another retreats to the bedroom to watch her own show and chat with her friends. One parent falls asleep and one stays up a little longer to pack and watch a baseball game. Simple pictures, nothing special. One more opportunity for finding God in it all, deeply in the everyday. Name it, claim it, celebrate it, my friend always says. Name it, claim it, celebrate it, right smack in the midst of the humdrum, nothing really Norman Rockwell to see here, imperfect and yet blessed. Jesus says, I'm with you always. And that doesn't just mean in the moments before death, or in the midst of combat, or through unimaginable loss and pain, or in the sanctuary on a beautiful Mother's Day morning. No, Christ is there in those times too, but also in the evenings before, and the drive to the airport after. Christ is with us in the humdrum, in the daily grind, in the no-frills, overbooked family dinner, in the club team travel, in the nap on the way to the airport. We're pretty good, you know, about throwing around the word godless. You know, it's a godless place. That was a godless thing. That was a godless person. We're pretty good at throwing around that term. And it's interesting that the word Godful doesn't even exist. That's a made-up word, Godful. Spell check caught it right away. Godful doesn't exist. But in the spirit of Paul, in our lesson from the book of Acts today, I'd say our night last night was Godful. Paul stands in front of the Areopagus with the Parthenon just in the distance, not too far away. Saw it back in January. I was there. I stood on the Parthenon myself. I stood at the Parthenon and also at the Areopagus. Paul stands there and he says there, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. Imagine St. Paul saying a similar thing in our time and place. Maybe standing out on Little River Turnpike or downtown, in front of our courthouses, our stadiums, our monuments, our medical schools and law schools and secondary schools, our houses, looking at the great structures of our town and saying, Northern Virginians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. You see, Paul is making such a fascinating move here in the book of Acts. He's honoring the religio impulses of the people. By that I mean the word religion, religio, reconnect, ligament. That's where we get the word ligament, to reconnect, religio. He's honoring the religio impulses, the religious nature that is embedded into our genes. Might not always be toward reconnecting to a church, but all of us have objects of worship. All of us make sacrifices to something or someone. It's in our genes because we have this need to connect, whether that's to a club or family or to friends or to a nation. All of us have these impulses. Might not always be toward the church, but we all have objects of worship. Paul identifies that and then seeks to give a new name and give voice to what they're experiencing, that need to ligio, that need to connect. He seeks to take their passion, to honor their enthusiasm, their spark, but to check it and actually name it as holy, to refocus it, to reclaim it, and to celebrate it, to proclaim that it is God in whom we live and move and have our being. Our God who does not live in shrines made by human hands. That is, God is so deeply embedded into our everyday. This is the glory of Easter. Easter is a season for celebrating God's breaking out into the world. Easter precedes Pentecost, that is the birth of the church. So first is Easter, that is, God's out there. Nothing can stop God. God is bursting forth, not just from the tombs of death, but into every aspect of our lives and our world. Then comes Pentecost 50 days later, and we're preparing for that. It's only 2 weeks out now. Pentecost is the people giving voice and name to God out there. So first thing happens is God goes out, breaks out into the world. Secondly, Pentecost people, that's God right there. In other words, the church is not where God is created or where God lives, where God is domesticated and kept safe. Rather, the church, Pentecost, we celebrate the birth of the church. The church is where God's people give voice to Christ's healing and redemptive work in the world, where Christ is breaking down walls and extending instead tables. We'll sing that in a moment. Where God is so deeply present, even in the living rooms, and freeways, and soccer fields, and airports, and office buildings, and classrooms, and courthouses. Yes, even there, all of these places, God is alive and well in ways and things, filling up places that we might not have expected. Like trashy TV shows together, like watching baseball games alone, like cleaning the basement floor or walking the dock. You see, today we simply point to it like Paul. Name it, claim it, celebrate. That's God. Yeah, you know that. You know that meal you tasted and it was so, that's God. You know that conversation that you had that was, that's God. You know that sunset that you said, that's God. So deeply embedded and present in and through it all. The one in whom we live and move and have our being. Greeting a stranger on the metro. Reveling in the latest novel. Writing that final paper. Playing in the swimming pool, working in the garden, getting stranded at the airport, passing the cornbread. That's God. The list is diverse as it is endless. And it's not just in cheerful or routine things either. God is certainly and deeply present in the painful times too. Friends, think prayerfully of all those who are having a difficult time this Mother's Day. The pink flowers that they always wanted but never were able to receive. Or those who are longing to give their mother flowers this day but can no longer. The complicated relationships, the grief, the distance. Talk about that longing to religio, to reconnect. Christ is there too, deeply present in and through it all. I am with you always, Jesus promises. God is present in, fills up everyday things in ways that we can't expect or control. And the apostles and the evangelists of the scripture help us give voice to that again this day. Jesus says in the Gospel of John that the world has trouble seeing this ever-present Spirit. The world cannot see it, Jesus says. Maybe too many in this world have been taught not to see God in everyday things. Maybe the church is in part responsible for this, attempting to give God limited access through only golden chalices and glorious architecture and long flowing robes and manicured sermons. Or maybe the world, we too, just can't see or believe in the Spirit's omnipresence in this day or in this time in our lives. Just can't believe that God was present in our, you know, watching TV last night and scarfing down some pasta. The walls are simply too thick, too high. God's only here, not there. God only looks like this, not that. But whatever the reason, we may struggle to recognize the divine in the everyday. Jesus' words, friends, rise to the surface again this morning and hover over us all. I promise not to leave you, he says. I promise not to leave you orphaned. I promise not to leave you stuck in worshiping something that has no meaning, in giving devotion and making sacrifice to something that has no substance. I promise not to abandon you to the emptiness of this world, to the shrines made only by human hands, but rather I promise to fill your life and your world and all those things, every aspect of it, with my love and my presence. For I am the one in whom you live and move and have your being. God has given us the eyes of faith to see this love and deep, deep presence. We just have to be reminded and invited again to open our eyes of faith to see what the world can't see, that God is so deeply present in love. Heather, the mother in our household, really is the one who taught our kids to read or to love reading. And she'd always read to them, especially when they were younger, but taught them that passion. And one of the first series that she read to them was, of course, Harry Potter. Do you remember the Dementor in Harry Potter? The Dementor? It's a ghost-like, what a great word, by the way. J.K. Rowling, like the de-spiritor. The Dementor, it's this ghost-like creature that can reach into a person and suck out their life spirit, their joy, their creativity, their hope. And in the Harry Potter movies, to see the impact of the Dementor, it's just eerie. The victim is left with just this blank expression and stare. They're not dead, but they are devoid of any spark. Just kind of wobbling and empty. When tragedy or fear or pain strikes, we realize the Dementor is not just a figment of a great novelist's imagination. The Dementor can suck the life spirit out of us too. Sometimes even just through the everyday grind of our lives, that's the dementor can get to work on us. We can so easily be demented into believing that God is not present in this world, that all we have in this life is what we can see. Shrines made by human hands, the art and imagination of mere mortals. Friends in Christ, when you sense the dementor lurking in your life, building walls that try to cut off your spark, your ligio, your connection, contemplate the wonder of a tree, which is but one example of the art and imagination of the divine. Contemplate a tree, its beauty, its brilliance, its gifts, its rootedness. When your spark is threatened, contemplate a tree. Talk about nature therapy. And here again, the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. I will give you an advocate. Someone to stand up for you to the dementors of this world. Someone to tear down the walls that cut off circulation and connection. I will give you an advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because the world neither sees nor knows her. By the way, it's a feminine word. You know her because she abides with you and she will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming with you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Friends, the Christ breathes life and love to share in you this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
All of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.